Go for it. All right. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much and welcome. Again, I appreciate all of you being here. I'm going to go through just a couple things to let everybody know that I have on my little clipboard, so I make sure I tell everybody. The first thing is that this session is going to be recorded audio. And so when everyone speaks, we're going to send around this little gray box here, which actually has a microphone in it, so that way the people on the audio recording can hear you. So if you don't mind holding that when we all share, that would be great. There are restrooms that are down the hall. If you go out here and turn right, they are down the hall on the left-hand side. And then after the session is over, you are all welcome and hopefully encouraged, and we'll join across the way in the sanctuary again for the Giving Voice Chorus presentation. It's going to be brief.
It'll be a brief presentation, about 20 minutes, and then at 2:30 our session will be over then. So I think that's all the things I had to tell you. Let me look out. I think that's everything. All right. So next, I just want to get into our session. Thank you again for being here. I appreciate it. My name is Alex Locke. I work at Jewish Family Service of St. Paul, and I am here in this session both professionally and personally. Come on in. We're just getting started. Nope, we are just getting started. I was just introducing myself. So my name is Alex Locke. I'm the Director of Community Services at Jewish Family Services of St. Paul, although next month my title's changing to Program Director. And I am here both professionally and personally. So professionally, like I said, I work at Jewish Family Service. One of the departments I supervise all of the services and the program departments. So aging and disability services is one of the departments, and then counseling as well, so sort of all of those. Personally, I was a caregiver for my mother who had Alzheimer's. She just passed away in December, and both of her parents also had Alzheimer's as well, so my grandparents. So I have I've been in the personal world. I've been in the professional world. I realize I should also tell you I worked for Sholem at the Reutenberg on the St. Louis Park campus for a couple years, both in the assisted living and the memory care. I am very passionate about caregivers and the support and sharing resources because I know I've been there. I have walked in your shoes, and I know sort of what a lot of us need. So my idea for this session of sharing resources with each other actually came because 2 years ago, I came to this conference as a participant. And in the session I was in, it was led by the Alzheimer's Association, and it was the steps of Alzheimer's. But about midway through, the session just kind of went off the rails in a really good way, and it turned into all of the participants just sharing resources with each other. Who do you call about that? Oh, I've done this. You really should go check them out. So it turned into that, and it made me realize that's what I want to do. So when we were planning this year's conference, I'm actually on the planning committee as well, I pitched the idea, and everybody loved it. So my goal today is for each of us to be a teacher and a learner, to share the resources you want, to ask for the things that you need help with, suggestions that you may have. So what I would really love to do is send our microphone around to start with, to introduce yourself and share whatever it is that you would like to share. No pressure to do anything. If you just want to share your name, or not even that, that's okay as well. Or you can share your journey, who you are as a caregiver, family member, whatever that is. Share whatever you are comfortable with. And then we're going to, I've got a couple resources that I want to send out to everybody, some resource lists to give to each of you that you will take home. And then it's just really about sharing and having conversations with each other and how we can be helpful to each other. So I'm going to hand this. Do you mind starting?
No. Thank you.
And share whatever you would like to share.
Okay. My name is Helen Siegel, and I'm the caregiver for my husband, who has Alzheimer's. And he's in, you know, to look at the stages, he's probably in the middle stage. And he also believes that there's nothing wrong with him. So I see a lot of nodding heads. I have avoided being in a group for myself because I had a lot of other things going on. My mom just passed away. She lived in Queens, New York, and I was flying back and forth and trying to deal with that plus, you know, everyday life at home. And so I'm glad I'm in the room because I'm looking forward to hearing from other people. Shall I pass it this way?
Either way, sure. Thank you.
No tips. I'm looking for.
We'll come back. We're just going to do introductions right now, and then we'll start sharing our resources.
She's ready to go.
She is ready to go. She's got her pen and paper ready to go. I love it.
I'm Jean. I have a sister with Lewy body dementia and memory care. Significantly terrified most of her life. Has not wanted to have, as the whole thing came down, I was not someone she wants to be around, but I have two sisters who are. So it's kind of trying to figure out how to support them because I can't be a direct caregiver right now.
Excuse me. Hi, I'm Nancy. This is my sister Gail, and our mom diagnosed. I took mom for a physical checkup almost 2 years ago, and the doctor says, "No more driving. You have dementia." It's like, she what? You know,
yeah.
We kind of didn't see it. But, yeah, we're just still trying to figure stuff out and looking for any helpful advice and
good.
Just as
much
as we can learn.
So. I'm Gail, it's my sister Nancy. And, yeah, just the shock of realizing that our mom is where she is. It's really hard, but she's a really good caregiver, and I just want to support her as much as I can and my mom.
That's great. I'll get up and move that for you.
Oh, here.
Thank you. Let's go to the back here, if you don't mind. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Denise, and I'm a caregiver for my father-in-law and my mom, and we have an adult son with autism. We're guardians to him.
My name is Todd, and my wife was diagnosed with frontotemporal dementia in July of 23, so we are moving through this journey together.
I'm Diane. My husband was diagnosed with Alzheimer's 8 years ago. He had just turned 60. I cared for him for 6.5 years at home, and the last year and a half he's been in a facility. So,
I'm Gabe Glucksman. My wife's got dementia. 2019. And she's still living at home. And my son... My oldest son is with us here today also. He's also a caretaker for her. So, but yeah.
It's so very hard. My name is Kay Kessel, and my husband had a stroke in 2002, right when I retired being an administrator in the Minneapolis schools. And he died when he was 80. We were 61 at the time, so I was a caregiver for a long time, and I had head up in health care, and I have to say that it saved my life because there was a senior care clinic. It's really no longer in existence right now, but I had the Cadillac of care, so did my husband, and we had all these services, and there was a doctor who was specialized with elder care, and just before he went into the nursing home, the last 2 years of his life, we had a chaplain that came to our home and a nurse. And this palliative care should be available. I live in Richfield, Minnesota, and there are so many people that are alone doing the caregiving, and they should have something like that. So, but I just want to say one more thing. I've been coming here for all these years, finding support, and here with the Jewish community, they have really wrapped their arms around this, and they're experts at it.
My name is Christy Bader, and I am 5 years into the journey with my husband who has dementia.
My name is Lindsay Kvasnik, and this is my mom. So I'm also 5 years into, well, not really, because they didn't tell us that 5 years, but we are a certain amount of years into the journey with my father.
So my name is Tom Maher. So my dad died a couple of years ago, and then about a year or so after that, my mom moved into assisted living, and she's pretty physically challenged, so she's definitely got Parkinson's. We wonder if she has a little bit of dementia, and we're wondering if she's got coming on with Alzheimer's. So I also heard that they're thinking of calling Alzheimer's type 3 diabetes, which I could see her definitely falling into that category. So, and I thought the session was about caregivers supporting each other, like how me and my brothers and sisters could support each other, because dysfunction runs very strongly in our family. We do pretty well, though, but even though that's what I thought the session was about, I think there's probably going to be a lot of really good gems here that I'm really looking forward to the session.
I think you will get some of that out of this as well.
Cool. Very cool. Thank you.
My name is Andrea Levitch, and I am the caregiver for my husband, Stan, who has dementia and is just starting to need more help. And I enrolled him in a home and community program. But the unsure thing for me always is that I am a nurse, and I was a certified case manager for 50, you know, for a lot of years, and it's just hard. This is all, I give everybody a lot of credit. It takes so much empathy.
It does.
And patience.
It sure does.
And, you know, I'm thinking, I could cry, and really all of you are doing such a valiant job. It's terrific.
Thank you.
And I'll get my Kleenex.
I'm Prudence Meyer, and my husband had Parkinson's and died a year and a quarter ago, and was a rare Parkinson's, but he was took care of for many years. And we moved to a senior center. Okay, now I'm in the senior center, and I'm working with a caregiver support group. Okay, so I'm here to get ideas, okay, and tips.
Super. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you all for sharing. And you can see there's a little bit of everything. There are community workers. There are spouses. There are children. There are parents. It's sort of the gamut of different relationships to folks with dementia and caregivers. So thank you all for being here and for being willing to share. Like I said, a lot of what we want to do is resource share, but I also think that we will get into how we support each other, because I'll even share my experience with our family and ways that we supported each other, which included making sure we spent time together away from my mom, that we went to dinner. We needed to get out together and spend time as a family and support each other. So even those type of things, I'm hoping will come out and people will share and can be helpful. So the next thing I want to do is send around these two resources. There's one for this side, one for this side. So this first one is the caregiver support resource list, rather. The second one is resources for seniors. It's specifically Ramsey County, but it's actually many of them are statewide. And so I just wanted to make sure everybody walks away with these two resources, because there are a lot of different organizations that can be helpful here. Again, some specific to caregivers, some for the actual person. It's just a gamut of resources. So that's the first thing, is I wanted everyone to walk away with these two lists, because there's some great information here. Even the Ramsey County one, like I said, you don't have to be in Ramsey County for most of the services there. They just put this lovely list together that I stole to share with all of you. The caregiver resource list was actually put together by us at Jewish Family Service. So what I also want to tell you, clearly, thank you so much. Clearly, these lists are not exhaustive. There are dozens more organizations. Thank you so much. There are dozens more organizations and agencies that can help. These are ones that either we have had experience with, we've worked with, we've heard about, we know about. And I'll be honest, in terms of the caregiver resources, there is agencies that I've worked with that I purposely didn't put on here, because it's not something that I would want someone else to experience. So for the caregiver resource list, these are all places that myself or two of my colleagues at Jewish Family Service have all experienced and have all worked with in one way, shape, or form, and would recommend them as services. Again, the Ramsey County one is a little more generic, but it just has a lot of good pieces that when I saw that, I wanted to make sure that I shared it with you. So I think I want to go a little bit more into detail about my mom's story, because I want to kind of share some of the resources that I used along the way. And then I will turn it over to you either for tips, questions, whatever that is. I want this to be what we all need from this session. That's what I'm hoping it can be. So my mom was, we started noticing some things that were off with her in about 2019 and 2020. Things like she couldn't make her own recipes anymore. She was a cook and a baker her entire life, and she started really struggling with those type of things. It's like, this is, something's not right here. She knows how to cook. And she was, that was really our first one, was the cooking and the baking. It was so off for her. And then she started making decisions that she wouldn't necessarily have made, like when she was going to take my niece somewhere in the car. My sister said, you don't even have a car seat right now. She's like, oh, it's not that far. It's like, no, my mom would never have made those kind of decisions. So it was, we just started seeing the signs. And at first it was like, we know something's off. Let's watch it and see what happens, because we weren't quite ready to go. Remember what I told you earlier, both of her parents had Alzheimer's, so this was in the back of my head of where we were probably headed with this. But we got to a point where two and two were no longer making four. Things were not adding up with her. And so we took her to a Neuran clinic. That was the neurologist that we saw. That's one resource I would highly recommend if people are looking for a neurologist. Neuran is a – they have multiple different offices here in the Twin Cities. They were fantastic. So we went there. She did all of the different tests, and to no surprise, she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. At first, she was still living on her own. She was still driving. We would do things like check in with her, that type of thing. The next big step is her driving really started to be affected. So I had her do a driving evaluation, and it was through the Sister Kenny who did it. I'm here. Mm-hmm. Yep, so people know about that resource. So we did the thing through Sister Kenny. Surprisingly, they said she can still drive. She just needs to do it within 10 miles during the day, places she knows. So some restrictions, but she could still go to Target. She could still go to the grocery store, those type of places. A month later, she got into an accident. She pulled a U-turn in the middle of the road. She went into a ditch, and she called me, and she had no idea where she was. And that was the last day I let her drive. So even though Sister Kenny said she could still, that was it. So we stopped driving. And then at that point, it was time to move her into a facility where she could just get more help, because she wasn't able to live with us. We have a two-story home. That was not going to work. So I needed her, but I needed her nearby. So we actually moved her in two blocks from me, which is incredibly helpful. So the next resource I want to give to you is Rosa's Daughters, which is on your sheet. They are a complete moving service that does absolutely everything. They will pack up what you need. They will move it. And not only did they unpack in your new home, they set up her alarm clock. They hung her art. They made her bed. They do absolutely everything under the sun. And what was so beautiful about that is they took the time before we moved to look around her house to know how they were going to set it up in the new place. So it was less rooms, much smaller square footage, but they made it feel like her home. I actually took a video of her because I wanted to remember what she thought when she walked into her home. And they opened the door and she said, it's my home. And it was so beautiful. So Rosa's Daughters is the next. Yeah, it's beautiful. Rosa's Daughters is the next service that I want to highly recommend. So they're in there for you. And actually, one of their staff members is here today just by chance. She's not here as working. She's here as a participant. So she is here as well. But they're absolutely fantastic. We moved my mom into the Pillars of Lakeville, which is also on your sheet. So I live in Lakeville, which I know is a schlep for most of you, but the Pillars does happen to have other locations. I know there's a lot of people, especially in the Jewish community, who live at the Pillars of Prospect Park, which is in the Prospect Park neighborhood. But for me, it was the Pillars of Lakeville. They were absolutely unbelievable. So we started her in the assisted living. She moved in there in April of 2023. and she was there, and then we moved to, she started as an independent living. In December of that year, we decided to add services for assisted living because her dementia was going very quickly. My mom kept having these just cliff dives. So she would plateau, and then just these dives that nobody could understand how it was happening that fast. So that happened again. We moved her into assisted living, and we continued that journey for quite a while until September the following year, September of 24, where she had another one of those dives. Nobody could understand it. We took her to the hospital. She was there for 4 days. They did every test imaginable, and in the end, they said the only thing we can attribute this to is her Alzheimer's, just another significant decline. So at that point, she moved into memory care at the Pillars. The staff there were unbelievable. I was given such peace of mind that I never realized I needed and I would appreciate as much as I did for how attentive they were. She, towards the end, couldn't even feed herself, so they fed her. And it was things like that where it's like, I don't have to worry when I can't be there every day. And even though she was 2 blocks from me, they took care of everything. So the Pillars was absolutely incredible. Two more resources that I want to, as we continue on our journey. The next one, which is also in your resources, is the Estate Maven. A lot of you may know, so Dina Buslovich is the owner. She is a member of the Jewish community, and she owns the Estate Maven. What they will do is, again, it's if you're moving, if you need to consolidate, they will come in and take care of absolutely everything. They will either donate, auction, consign, whatever it is that you have. That was so helpful to us because we kept saying, what are we going to do with all this? Who has the time? Who has the energy to go through all that? And they take care of absolutely everything. So that's another resource I want to give you. And now we're at the end of my mom's journey that I want to share with you, and it was time to put her on hospice. And the Grace Hospice, which I put in the resource, was the most phenomenal organization I have ever experienced. They are true angels on earth. The way that they took care of my mom, she was only on hospice for 3 weeks before she died, was so unbelievable. Talk about the peace of mind. They did everything, including showering her, whereas they would still do that at her assisted living, but they did those type of things. Their communication was unbelievable. They left a journal, but they would also say, what do you want? Do you want phone calls, text, emails, whatever you want? They personalized the care to you as the caregiver, so you know what is going on with your loved one when you're not there all the time. So if and when it comes to that, Grace Hospice is an amazing organization that I would never think twice about. My concern as a member of the Jewish community was, is it religious? And so when I reached out to them, the very first thing they said is, we do whatever anyone needs. If you want religion to be a part of it, great. If you don't, that's okay as well. So they tailored my mom's needs, our family's needs, to a T, and they were absolutely amazing. So those are some of the resources that I just wanted to personally share with you. And like I said, I also wanted to kind of touch on how we as family supported each other. One of the things we did, we talked a lot. I was the primary caregiver. My sister was not as involved as I would have liked, frankly. But she had her reasons. She had a young kid. She was a single mom herself because she had lost her husband a few years ago to cancer. So I understood why. Didn't mean I liked it. I understood it. So we talked a lot. And each step of the way, every decision I made, everything I had to do, I filled her in. And that was very helpful, both for her to hear, but for me to be able to just have someone else to bounce that off of, to understand what I was going through. This is our mom. We both love her the same. We are both losing her. So communication with my family members was huge, and sometimes we didn't agree. I was the power of attorney. I was the person who, you know, I had all of the, everything was in my name, so I ultimately made the decision. And I don't think there's any perfect family. No one's going to agree all the time with everyone. But it's important that you communicate. The why is important. Like I mentioned earlier, one of the things we did, we went out to meals together. So we could talk about, how's your day going? Let's talk about mom for about this much time. And then let's try not to do that as well, because that is really important, that you take some of that time for yourself, and you feel very guilty when you're doing it, and you can't. It is so important. I'm sure you've heard this a number of times today. Caregivers have to take care of themselves, and you shouldn't feel bad about that, and you shouldn't feel guilty, because if you aren't well, if you aren't taking care of yourself, you're not going to be there for your spouse or your parent or whoever it is that you're caring for. So it is incredibly important that you take care of yourself, that you spend that time with your family or friends or whoever that is, that you get out, take that time away. You need that time. So that's sort of my story that I wanted to share and some resources. Does anyone want to either share some resources or ask some questions that they have either to myself or to anyone else in the room? Can I send you the little microphone box?
I was just going to say about the driving. I know the Sister Kenny has their driving thing. It was like $400 or whatever
it
is.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so I didn't take my husband there. If you, whatever hospital you're affiliated with, I have Fairview with my Blue Cross Blue Shield. They have OTs that will meet with your person. So we went to a room. She assessed him, put him through all these different tests. One of the tests was a long hallway. She would take little post-it notes and put it up and down the walls, and he had to walk through fast and touch each little note. Failed it. So he failed almost every test. I knew he shouldn't be driving anymore. If he got in an accident, he could be liable. Everybody's telling me that. Even though he was a good driver when I would ride with him. She said, I can't, like, officially say he can't drive. I don't have that capacity. But his executive function isn't there. So for me, I'm like, I don't want him driving anymore. Yep. And so then I started driving, and that was great. It didn't cost me anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I know they have the Sister Kenny thing, but check into your hospital with an OT to assess their driving.
That's great. That's exactly what we should be doing, because everyone's got their own resources and experience.
Right.
So thank you for
saying that.
Right. That's great.
Yep. I don't
know. Who else? Either a question or a resource, please. Can you take the box there?
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
I had to find a lot of resources, and my husband went to Mount Olivet Day Services for 16 years, and then I could go and be myself. And I also was part of different congregations. And at first, Mayflower Church was really supportive of us. But as the years went on, the Council of Churches had this Alzheimer, it was series. And so I had a group of church members go, and then they came back, and the minister, she assigned that there were two young women whose mothers just had Alzheimer's. She kind of assigned them the our Mayflower program. And it was all different if it's your spouse. It's, you lose your husband when you become a caregiver. And anyway, so I searched around, and I went to Richfield United Methodist Church. And actually, the minister, I went in, and I just told her, I was a caregiver, and she put her arms around me, and guess what? I joined the church. But they have a full-time nurse, and she's a palliative care person. And so she would go out and meet with all of the congregation members that weren't coming to the church. And then one other thing, I was at Mount Olivet at the adult day program. There were about 10 of us women whose husbands all had Alzheimer's. And we became, like, for 12 years, we were solid support for each other. We could just, and that's what we need to do in connecting people here. And God is kind of with me, because when I came in, I guess what? There was a young woman who walked in with me, and her husband has Alzheimer's, and she lives a block from me.
Wow.
And so she and I connected, and then she sat with her next to a friend of hers at her church, and they didn't know each other. They both are spouses. So I like to connect people, and that's what you're doing. But we desperately need to just be with people that are experiencing. So
it helps. It helps in so many different ways that you may not even realize. Whether it is, again, to share that information. Sometimes you just need somebody to hear the day that you had and what you've been through. So connecting with people, talking to others who are on that journey or have been on the journey, regardless of if it's the start of the journey, the end of the journey, or somewhere in between, is so important. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Who else? Please.
Box.
Yep. Thank you so
okay.
much.
I'm Prudence Meyer. I've been through the caregiving with my husband who had Parkinson's. I would say support groups, no matter if it's one or a group or if it's on Zoom or if it's in person, you got to get into a support group because it really helps. Try some of the, you know, places and keep asking. Maybe look on the internet. The other thing is tips are really important from those support groups and others. But if you are right now in this position today and think that you might want a facility for independent living, care, assisted living, or so on, I would say I go out today and identify three, visit them, get on their list, and put a deposit down, because you won't believe today how long the waiting lists are get in. So when you're ready, they will be calling you, by the way. You put out a deposit, they'll call you, and you'll get the deposit back after, you know, death. But they will be calling you and say, we've got an opening for you. Are you ready right now? And you can say, no, but keep me on the list. And that is really important today, April 2025.
You're right. And like she said, they will keep you on the list. You don't lose your spot. So even if you're number one on the wait list, you will still be one on the wait list the next time the list comes available. The other thing I wanted to show you, on the back of the caregiver resource list page, I put together several questions or things for you to... several things for you to consider when taking a tour of those places. So questions to ask the facility, things for you to process, things to find out. These are really important questions to ask so you know you are putting your loved one in the best place possible. So I agree, go out there, tour different places, use this list. It will be very helpful. I think you'll be glad you had it and know some of the questions to ask. And those questions are going to then spur other things that you have come up with that you want to know the answers to. So please use that as well. The other thing Prudence mentioned is caregiver support group. So we offer that at Jewish Family Service. So again, we're the first resource on the top of that page. But we have a caregiver resource group, so you are welcome to reach out to us, and we can get you set up there eventually. We also have a grief support group. That is another service we offer. And one of the other things that we do, we have a program called Bonnie Care, which is sort of an umbrella of care management services. But one of the services under Bonnie Care is actually caregiver coaching. We do one-on-one coaching of caregivers. So you would meet with one of our care managers who are both registered nurses to kind of talk you through caregiver, the support that you need, those type of things. So all of that is through Jewish Family Service. If you need that, you don't have to live in St. Paul, because it's Jewish Family Service of St. Paul. We go to both sides of the river. We don't want to overlap with JFCS. If that's a service that they provide and you live in Minneapolis, then we would refer you to them. But if it's a service that they don't provide, then we would still do that from the St. Paul group. Sorry, I got to give you the box. I know it's awkward, but that way anyone was listening here.
I kept trying to keep my husband at home, and so I advertised out at the North program for chiropractors, et cetera, mm-hmm. for a student to live in my home. So I had a massage therapy student who lived there, and so in the evening or the weekend, she would just stay with my husband, and we didn't charge her anything, and I'm still on Facebook with her. This was many years ago, yeah. And it's a very nice way, you know. And a lot of us have bigger houses, And it moving to the assisted living too soon, I hope people don't do that either. So anyway, I recommend that.
Yeah, timing is everything, and there is no magic answer, unfortunately. I wish there was. For me, we got very lucky. Each time there was time to make a transition, no more driving, assisted living, memory care, hospice, each time, somehow I felt like there was somebody looking out for us above, you know, whatever superpower you may or may not believe in. It every time, it was the exact right time for us that, okay, I think we're ready to move into memory care. We started talking about it. We got our name on the wait list. One came available. We actually passed on it. And then all of a sudden, my mom had that decline that I told you about. She was in the hospital for 4 days. She had the decline. The second day she was in the hospital, her building called and said, we have an opening in memory care. It's like, so I, that's not something I can make happen for you. I'm just telling you that timing is everything, and sometimes you have to jump on those spots. And those conversations can be very difficult. Again, we got very lucky with my mom. When we had to move her to memory care, her cognition was not there, so we didn't even have to explain it to her. We told her this is her new apartment. I mean, we said that, so she knew that it was different surroundings. But those conversations can be very difficult. I remember when my grandpa, when it was time to tell him that he needed to, that he was going to move into an assisted living, his response, which was a beautiful response, is, I don't think I need to go, but if my children say I do, then I guess I do. So it was, you can give your kids a better response than that. But those can be very difficult conversations. I will tell you, sometimes families have gotten sneaky, which, again, there is no judgment here. People do what they have to do. When I worked at Reutenberg, we had a resident who was moving from assisted living to memory care. They did not know how to tell her. They didn't know how to do it. So I was taking the tenants out on a field trip one day. I don't even remember where we were going. And the plan is they were actually moving her while she was out with me. So when they came back, she was in a new apartment. Again, there's no judgment on my part. It's what worked for their family at the time. But different families, you have to do what works for you, what works for your loved one. Again, don't feel guilty. You have to do what's best for them and what's best for you, and that may look different for every single person in every single scenario. And what works for one parent, if it happened, may not work for the other parent. My grandma and grandpa were very different. They had very different Alzheimer's journeys. My grandpa was very quiet, laid in bed, didn't do much. My grandma got very physical. She would hit some of the aides. I mean, it was just very different. My mom never forgot who any of her family was. So each of the journeys is just so different, and you never know which hand you're going to get dealt. And it goes back to why we have to rely on each other and share these resources to be there for each other and help each other out. Who else has either questions, something to share?
I have a question.
Please. Thank you.
So I was just curious if anybody in the room has tried to get like a companion or someone to come in for a few hours, and how that's working. My husband, who doesn't believe there's anything wrong with him, it's not going to go well. And there's this, I'm confrontation avoidant, but can't help it. Yeah, I'd like to know if somebody wants to share.
People have done, don't say they're coming to help you. Just say, I need somebody to help me. They're helping me. They're not here for you. That's
and my husband says I can handle everything. Yeah, he wants me.
I'll answer first because I've already got a microphone. We did have somebody come in to help my mom, and it was one of those, again, I told you somehow everything timely was on our side somehow. I posted a thing on Facebook saying we're looking for some help for my mom a couple hours a week to come and give her dinner, shower her, that type of thing. This is when she was still in assisted living before memory care. And that day, my best friend, who's an RN, had said, one of my friends who I used to work with, who's an RN, just posted she wants to come in and do some work with people. Do you guys want me to set you up? I said, yes. Turns out she lived 5 minutes from my mom. She was, like I said, she was also an RN, and my mom thought of her as her own daughter. She became part of the family instantly. It was so nice. the conversation we had to have with my mom, because she did not want anyone to come in. She was incredibly modest. She most certainly did not want anyone having her to help her shower, that type of thing, was similar. We had to talk about, Mom, I need the help. I can't do this for you, and you aren't doing it. We found out my mom hadn't showered in 2 months because she was scared she was going to fall. So I was very honest with my mom throughout her entire journey, each time telling her along the way, these are the things that we have to do. I know that's frustrating. I know you don't want to do that, and we have to do that anyway. It's not easy. I get it. And that may not work for your husband either. I just wanted to share with you kind of what worked for us. But we did have somebody come in. She was unbelievable. She worked up until when my mom died. And like I said, my mom thought of her as one of her own kids, and we still have dinner with her occasionally. She became a family member. It was really nice. Does anyone else have experience with that? Yeah.
My wife is on elderly care, and through her caseworker, we were able to get a hold of a couple different agencies that hire PCAs, and I'm one. First month, right now, the first year I can do this as a spouse and get paid. My son is one, and then we have somebody else who comes in at night for 3 days a week, and they go through agencies to hire them.
That's great. Is that an elderly waiver?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
great.
That's what I meant. Yep. Yeah. And her, as far as showering, she also goes to a daycare in New Hope, and she goes 3 days a week and gets either two or three showers that the girls do it there, so we don't have to do it at home. And they're set up for... the daycare is actually in an assisted living building. And so they're set up for doing that stuff. So it's really kind of nice.
That's great. Thank you. Anyone else have experience hiring someone like that? Thank you. Any other questions, things we can all be helpful to each other, any resources to share? We've got about 15 minutes left before this session ends.
Person to be male because he's got women around him, two daughters who've been incredibly helpful, but he is no longer driving, and he was a road salesman for most of his career, so to take his keys away was really he thinks it's, I don't want him to drive. I'm like, fine, you want to blame it on me, but can we like talk about this later, not while I'm driving?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not ruling anything out, I'm just trying to see other people's courage and bravery.
Are you in a support group?
No. I was kind of, sort of. We were dealing with the Center for Memory and Aging in, well, whatever town it was, in St. Paul, through Health Partners. And we had the most amazing integrated team of professionals. There was an OT, a neurologist, everything you would possibly need. And they had these adjacent support things where you could speak to a social worker, and or they had this care ecosystem where they would call in. And then all of a sudden their staffing disappeared. So the social worker went into private practice, the care ecosystem where they were calling and doing check-ins lost their funding, they had to write another proposal, and the neurologist who I actually found at this conference, one of the first ones, decided to do research and moved out of state. So I feel like, why am I going all the way there? So now I'm looking for a new neurologist.
Well, that's a good problem. I mean, that's a huge problem.
To find a neurologist, one that will, you know, help with aging people. I mean, they're into the medical component part of it, you know, with disease management, but not necessarily the aging process.
Right.
I mean, you know, the Duran Clinic is good, but it's not the be-all and the end-all, you know, at all.
Nope.
I was going to comment as well.
Yeah.
We went to the same Center for Aging in St. Paul. Mm-hmm. The neurologist was great. I totally agree. We now see Carla Clausen. I don't know if you had experience with her.
Yeah.
And we think she's great. She's very thorough. She's very kind. and very supportive. We also, I work with Jen Finstead a lot, the social worker who left.
She's in private practice.
She's in private practice, but she sees a lot of people from that group. And the only reason she went private is because she didn't have anything for her kids to do in the summer. So she figured this is a good time for me to work from home. It's been incredibly helpful. We have an appointment with her every 2 weeks on Zoom. Highly recommend her. And she's working on her insurance, but for now it's private pay, but she's much less than a lot of other therapists. But highly, highly recommend both of them.
It costs about $100 an hour if you have Home Instead or some of those organizations. You could have your husband at a Mount Olivet day program for $100 for 6 hours. And that's what we chose because it was so much more social and it gave me that time. You need time to just be you and you can just stay home. You know, and enjoy your house or get involved with things. But so I highly recommend the adult day programs. And if they resist, tell them it's for you. You need to do this. So anyway.
Yep. You don't have long-term care insurance. You do have long-term care insurance? Have you filed a claim?
Yes, and I have somebody coming to evaluate him within the next 2 weeks or so.
Okay. Do you need help, Ellen, with that? I just was able to get Stan approved for any insurance. And so he's going to be going to, open day. And then the nurse told me that he would be in touch. I could go to a home care agency and get some a respite caregiver for him for a few hours. That was still within his benefit. So getting him approved is the big thing.
Thank you.
Yes, for anyone who's also taking care of someone with a disability, I highly recommend the Pacer Center in Bloomington and has a lot of resources for caregivers and, information about housing options and things like that.
Great, thank you. The other thing I would mention,
go ahead.
We can both.
I wanted to mention a really good support group if anybody's interested. It's called the Normandale Center for, Health and Wellness or Healing in Edina. The second Saturday of every month from 9 to 10:30, they have caregiver. They might have a watercolor artist or a speaker in. And then the other hour and a half after that is for the caregivers, for the support group. But also they have respite. So you can bring your person, and they have volunteers there for 3 hours to watch your person.
Wow, that's really nice.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
That's wonderful.
Normandale Center for Healing and Wellness.
The other thing I would mention in terms of when we hired Becky, was her name, we were not afraid to treat it like a job. So we interviewed, and we actually ran background checks. And then because she was a nurse, I actually was able to look up the nurse registry online to verify that she was a nurse. And we had references because this is my mom. She was going to be with her to shower. She was going to be alone with her. I was incredibly nervous about it. So it's okay to do those type of things. Get references, interviews.
And they're going to be in your home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else? Either question, resource to share, thoughts, something you're looking for? Please.
Are resources, do they vary greatly from county to county or city to city? Are there some counties that have better programs?
So counties.
We're in Scott County.
Counties are tricky. They have similar and different ones. So that's not a great answer, but it's the truth. Some are similar depending. Like the elderly waiver that he was speaking about, that will be all the counties will have elderly waiver, but certain ones will have other supports built in that others will not. What I will tell you, the best resource for you is the Senior Linkage Line because they work with all the individual counties.
And that's on that page.
It's on that page.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a table in the resource fair too. So that will really help you because they work with all the individual counties and they can really help you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Great. Thanks.
They're very reputable.
Yeah, and there's a point, like if you have a loved one who's moving into an assisted living or any type of senior facility, they actually have to have, by law, a number through the senior linkage line. So at some point you would probably connect with them anyway. So the sooner the better. They're just a really good resource. Who else? I'm hoping people got something out of this session today. I also don't want people to leave if you're looking for something more. Is there any way that we can be of help to anyone in here? Any questions? Anything you, hey, who do you use for this? Who should I call?
Suppose you just run out of patients.
Yeah. So, okay. The question was, suppose you run out of patients, and that would be every one of us in this room who has done that. Those support groups are incredibly helpful. They will give you those tips of the things to do. It will be this type of thing. There will be typically it's a social worker or a nurse leading those who will give you those strategies of what to do. For me, I don't know if this is going to be helpful or not. I had to remember, this was not my mom's choice. She would not be doing this. And there is no doubt there were times I got frustrated. And I took a break. I had to either walk away if we were in the same building. I went and sat, you know, in the other room, that type of thing. I would go for a walk and say, I will be back. I had to do that for myself because I did not want to yell at her. There were times I didn't. I got really mad at myself for doing that, as we all do, because it's not their fault. And it's so hard in the moment to know that because they would never choose that for themselves. So it's taking a break, knowing they are not doing that on purpose. They are not doing that to you. And if they were in their right mind, they love you. They would never do that. So give yourself that grace to step away, take a break, do whatever you need to do. Call your sister. She seems really cool. And rely on each other. This is not a one-person job for any one of us. No. It's just not. And
you
so
know that there's nothing wrong with you for feeling that way.
Yeah.
Every one of us in here has felt that way. Absolutely. When I said there's times when I yelled and I didn't want to, I cannot tell you how many head nods I saw because we've all done it. And you feel bad about it, and that's why you have to give yourself some strategies of step away, walk away. Literally, that breathing exercise that they talked about was picturing when I did this, I was like picturing different stages of my mom. Even that was helpful to me. So, but I would also, again, encourage some of those support groups, I think would be really helpful. It's just an outlet. But I know also you're talking about in the moment.
Yeah, there's five of us, and we live within 15 miles of each other.
That's great.
My mom. Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes we forget about my mom because we're busy doing everything. Feel free to reach out and call. I mean, sometimes I get the reminder, hey, get your ass over here.
I'm helping
mom.
You heard it here. That's right. There's audio proof.
I'd like to learn more about the elderly waiver and what it entails.
Yeah, elderly waiver for the most part is, elderly waiver is per county, and it's usually about income. So there's a certain income level that you have to be below, and then there's all different types of services. I don't know what that line is, and it might be different for each county. So, again, reach out to your county, but start with the senior linkage line. They can really help you. But it is based on income level, and then there's all different types of services that they can provide, which can even be home care, someone to come in and clean the house, someone to come in and do PCA hours. So there's all different types of services that go with elderly waiver. Please.
One of the things that I'm realizing as I sit through this conference the first time is how unfair so much of the system is. I mean, dementia isn't even part of the American with Disabilities Act. What groups are out there? And I was inspired by, and speaking of of help groups. Lorenzo's Lounge was the group that did the youth thing. They've got some fantastic virtual support groups. But I was inspired by these kids because they're talking about advocacy. Are there groups that are getting into and trying to make this so that it is more fair for someone with dementia to get help?
Yes. So one of the ones that I can speak to is the Minnesota Leadership Council on Aging, is heavily involved in advocacy and policy. So that's one of them. There's also the Senior Aging of Minnesota. So yes, there are organizations that are into advocacy that are trying to make things better. Again, the one I can speak to is Minnesota Leadership Council on Aging, is very involved, and there are other organizations. So we are at time. Please go ahead.
Quick tip. I went to the Edina Community Center, has a support group for senior caregiving. You have to call the community center there, and see if it's still going on. But I just listened and learned.
Good. Thank you so much. So thank you, everyone, for being here. A couple things. Please fill out that evaluation form in your program. It is very helpful. It's tailored to each of the individual sessions, the conference as a whole. Across the way is the Giving Voice Chorus. They will start in 10 minutes. I will stay here if anyone has any questions or anything for me. Otherwise, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you being... Thank you. I appreciate you being vulnerable and sharing your journey. It is not easy to talk about it. If we've seen here, it is very emotional, so thank you.